Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Yesterday in the church's calendar, we celebrated the Transfiguration. And the Transfiguration is when Jesus takes sort of the inner ring of disciples, the inner ring of apostles, Peter, James, and John, and they go up Mount Tabor, and he gives them a brief glimpse into the reality of how things are, into God's true glory and grandeur, dwelling in Jesus, the God-man. And he does this for two reasons, right? So the Transfiguration takes place before the crucifixion. The crucifixion is a scandalizing event in the history of salvation. It's actually the darkest moment in human history, when our God came to us and our response was to crucify him, right, to kill him. But in God's logic, this is how the damage is repaired, right? Because when our first parents, Adam and Eve, turned their backs on God, that rupture was a rupture between finite creatures and an infinite God. So the fix needed to come from the finite creature side of the equation, but it needed to be an infinite fix. And we're totally incapable of that kind of reconciliation because we're finite. So then we have God taking on a human nature and repairing the damage from our side of the equation. The God-man, the infinite being, offering himself freely in our place. But it doesn't look like he offers himself freely. It looks like he's taken and arrested and tortured and crucified. So Jesus needs to prepare the apostles for this. So the first reason he shows his glory on Mount Tabor to Peter, James, and John is to sort of remove the sting and scandal of what's about to happen in the crucifixion, to prepare his apostles for his suffering and death. The second reason, and the reason I'd like to focus on in our homily, is to give us a glimpse of what is in store for us. Right? So there's a beautiful principle in our faith that says this: where Jesus Christ, our head, has gone, we, his body and members, have the promise of following. Right? So Jesus wants to give us a glimpse of what's in store for those who love God and are faithful to him, especially in the difficulties of life. So he shows his glory. And I think this ties into our gospel this morning, where our Lord is cautioning and encouraging us to be vigilant for his arrival. And the type of vigilance he wants isn't a sort of heavy, duty-based, like forced into being vigilant type of vigilance, because I don't know if you've ever been forced to be vigilant, you know, you're not really that vigilant, are you? You know? No, he wants a vigilance that comes out of excitement. A vigilance that finds its origin in wonder and amazement at what God has done, what God has done in salvation history, what God has done in our personal history, and what he calls us to. That's the type of vigilance he wants. And so he gives us a glimpse. He gives us a glimpse into the reality of what awaits us. And it's kind of like, this is a bit of a silly example, but this kind of excitement-based vigilance reminded me of when I was a kid. And this is how old I am. Let me tell you this story. So I grew up in a time before Amazon Prime two-day shipping existed. Can you believe that? a time existed, before Amazon Prime. And so when you ordered a package, you had to wait like 2 weeks for this package to get there. And when I was a kid, some of my toys consisted of these army men. And these weren't like your cheap rinky-dink, you know, army men. These were like high quality, high detail. And you had to order them from this old-fashioned magazine. It's the Toy Soldier Company in Pennsylvania. And you had to order them from this old-fashioned. So you'd flip through the magazine. You'd find what you'd want. You'd go to the back of the magazine. You'd fill in the form with the item number. And you'd include a check. And you'd mail the letter off. And then, you know, you'd wait like two, three weeks for this package to finally arrive. And I would be so excited for this package. I would wait. And my mother would constantly tell me. She's like, you know, a washed pot never boils, Steve. You know, like, you know, I'm sitting at the front door, you know. And I could hear, like, a truck, you know, coming down the road from like a mile away. I'm like, that sounds like a UPS truck. So I'm over there waiting. You know, there's, you know, I'd see a UPS truck drive by the house and I'd think, they must have made a mistake. I'm sure they're gonna be turning around down there and coming back. That's the type of excitement-based sort of vigilance that our Lord is looking for, right? And it comes out of a knowledge of what's in store, right? Like, I knew what was in that package, and I was excited for that. And we know through our faith, through the teachings of our church, what's in store for us. And our Lord, even, you know, he gives us that glimpse, right? One of the criticisms of the faith, sometimes you hear it put like this. It's like, if God is true, then just show your glory, right? Show your glory, Lord. Convince us that you're true. Well, he did that. He did that in the Transfiguration. Now, he's not going to do that every single time because he doesn't want to coerce us into loving him. Because real love requires freedom. Real love requires, you know, a choice. It requires a certain amount of vulnerability, right? We trust in our Lord's goodness. But he did. He did show us his glory, right? Anyways, excitement-based vigilance comes from a knowledge of what's in store. And we do have a great knowledge of what's in store. C.S. Lewis, he makes 2 points. The first point he makes is that we will all see God in our life. Every single one of us here will see Jesus Christ. And we are all approaching him at exactly the rate of 60 minutes per hour. Each one of us in this room is approaching our Lord and Savior at a rate of 60 minutes per hour. The second point that C.S. Lewis makes is a danger. It's a danger that we can fall into. And it goes like this. He gives this example. He calls it the heads I win, tails you lose argument. Heads I win, tails you lose argument. And basically, it goes like this. Life is certainly difficult. And sometimes in our life of faith and prayer, we don't feel the Lord's presence. Sometimes we feel as though the Lord isn't listening at all, even when we are faithful in our prayer. It doesn't seem as though he's answering our prayer. And so in a moment like that, I think, if we're being honest, you know, it tends to happen sort of unconsciously, but in a moment like that, we can start to begin to wonder, Lord, what gives? Or worse, are you even there? Are you even there? So that's one part of the problem. And frankly, that's like fair enough, because there's a lot of suffering in the world. And people, you know, go through a lot. And often there's a lot of suffering in silence. And pain and suffering has always been a sort of fair enough critique of Christianity. Now, when we consider the crucifixion, you know, I think it takes on a new meaning, absolutely. But fair enough, right? When we're going through a hard time, it can be tough, and we can begin to even unconsciously wonder, Lord, are you there? Do you care? Do you care at all? So that's one part of the equation. The second part of the heads I win, tails you lose argument is this. C.S. Lewis points out, sometimes in life, things are going really well. Sometimes we can take a step back and realize that we have many good things in life. We have family, and we have a successful job. We've acquired security and a house, and maybe even more specifically, you know, members, our loved ones, you know, have been saved by first responders in some, you know, critical moment, or some medicine and disease or doctor came right at the nick of time. The problem that C.S. Lewis points out in these moments is that we tend to see the physical causes that led up to these things. We know how much, you know, time and effort we put into our job to be able to reach this stage in our life, to have this type of security. We see and know the first responders who ran into the burning building, or the medicine and the doctors who operated and were successful in that risky procedure. We see the physical causes for many of the good things in our life, and then we can fail to recognize God behind those causes, and we can just leave it at what we see. You know, because I see how these things happened, then it would have happened anyways. You know, God didn't have anything to do with that. I saw how these things came about. I saw these physical, you know, causes, and it would have happened anyway. All right, so that's this argument, the heads I win, tails you lose argument. Basically, heads, I wonder where God is in the difficulties, and tails, I don't recognize him in the blessings. All right, so in both cases, our excitement in the faith can suffer, right? We can begin to become less and less convinced about our faith and more indifferent to it. And that's a big danger. And so at this time, you know, at Mass this morning, we ask the Lord to help us to be spiritually vigilant. A vigilance that is truly excited in the promises that God has made to us. And our God is the God of kept promises. And let's ask our Heavenly Father to keep us always convinced of the truths of our faith. And Lord, help us be prepared for your return.